Choosing a leader for his people, God has always used supernatural means. Daniel read the handwriting on the wall and was made third highest in the kingdom of Babylon. With over 200 circles pointing to Bible passages done in the backyard of the Vatican, with not one answer from them, God has made his choice clear. If it will make the Vatican and its followers feel at ease, on the same day both his Honda car and international truck billowed streams of white smoke. Here's your host, Brother Abel. What's that saying again about payback?
Greetings and welcome to WhiteHorse-Radio.com. The white smoke thing, you do realize it's a kind of an attack on the fact that Rome goes and does this whole thing where their conclave gets together and they pick your leadership for you. And Jesus said, he that is to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven must be the servant of you all. That's what made America the greatest nation on the face of the earth, is because we built our system according to the Bible. It was we the people, and we decided who would be the ruler over us. There was no elite class. We did it as God would have us to do. We made it so that the leader of us was someone whom the people decided to choose. People, because the majority can always see better than the minority. The minority wants to rule over the majority, the elite. America was a great nation because we not only inverted the pyramid, turned the system upside down on the enemy. In other words, there was no king on our hill. It was we the people. And God wanted us to be this great nation, to lift his son up out of the dirt, to expose the darkness at the end of the age, to show who is evil at the end of the age by seeing how many people are coming into powerful positions within the government of America. Who is sitting there? Who are the most political, most powerful people in the world today are sitting in America? And they seem to be Roman Catholic. How odd that is, isn't it? They wouldn't be happy, and they'll be happier if we put a chimney on the White House and blow white, black smoke up. And when they're done choosing our leader for us, the white smoke would come up. See, they have to make it look like we're actually making a difference at the polls. But you know that the rich and the wealthy and the money is putting the people in power over you and has been for a very long time. We've lost America. When John McCain, and we're going to get into this in this topic, called the phoenix as a symbol of resurrection. Phoenix is a city, Arizona, is where one of the presidential elects were, John McCain. In 2008, at the Saddleback debates, he sold out his seat. He did not try in an effort in winning the White House. He backed down. He didn't try to attempt to be the winner of the White House in 2000. He sold out is what he did. His great integrity. He writes this book about how important integrity is. You know, that he's a man with great integrity, but yet he sold out his White House position. He sold out the GOP sold it out for the Democrats so that they could put their false messiah in there to try to bring peace in the Middle East. The demon rats. But we live in a country that it was the people who ran it. Now it's gone. Everybody came over here. All the people from all the other countries came over here because they wanted the freedom to choose their leadership. But we don't have that freedom anymore. We think we do. The illusion is, and the great illusion, the delusion is that you think you have a say in your politics, but you do not. And you haven't had since Kennedy was assassinated, because no matter who gets in the White House, there's the gun sitting in there. The CIA came over here in 1947. We're going to take a look at some of this. We're taking a look at the fact that the resurrection's coming. That we want to get everybody to the foot of the cross before the resurrection. We don't want the devil to win this thing. So we needed to expose the hands and fingers of his church. We needed to expose them. They need to stand up and see who they are by destroying this great nation of ours. Because if they really want to make first resurrection, well, they're going to have to break their idolatry. They're going to have to get right with God before the resurrection. But the resurrection's coming because all of God's promises are yes and amen. If you're a preterist, don't pay any attention to this. There won't be no rapture for you. You know, go back to your book, The Last Days Madness. Everybody's mad here. Everybody's mad. We're mad that Jesus is coming back, and you're sad that there won't be any rapture. You're the Sadducees. It hasn't changed for you very much. It's like, I can't believe that the most common fact of Scripture is that what God did in heaven, he's going to do on earth. You know, God took the wicked and threw them out of heaven. Now he's going to take the righteous and bring them into heaven and leave the wicked behind. He took the wicked in heaven, cast them out. Now he's going to do the opposite. He's going to take the righteous. So the resurrection, the rapture, is a provable thing. Resurrection is going to take place. And it's going to take place because God is going to allow the wicked to have enveloped themselves, to devour themselves. Evil renders itself powerless by seeking after power. All these religions came here for the power that's America. And what they have done is exposed themselves as the frauds, and the people who are in any of those three religions should be running to the foot of the cross and finding the right Jesus, the right God of Scripture. And that is why the little horn is Protestantism. The little horn that rises up in the last days is Protestantism. We don't have idols. We don't bow down to idols. We don't have white round Eucharist. We don't sacrifice Christ every day at some altar. We don't do religious dogma. We don't make up stories. We take it from the Scriptures. We read it from the Bible. And we use the Word of God. We went around teaching people the Word of God. You knew the enemy was coming here to destroy America. Why? Because we have the Bible. And because whenever we produce the Bible, the enemy has had to go and stop every nation that's been spreading the Word of God, the Bible. Because the Bible doesn't support anything that Rome does. It doesn't support. There's nothing in there that supports anything that they believe or do. All their dogmas are just that. It's man-made doctrine, and it's demonic, and God won't allow it. And you know it's demonic because the demons have taken this great nation of ours and have destroyed it. And look who's their hands and their fingers. Look who's in the power positions. That's why God raises up a king in the last days in England to do what? To bring in his harvest. See, I'm not going to lie to you. You know, I am the man you've been waiting for, but at the same time, you've got to understand that God wants to push everyone to the foot of the cross. So in order to do this, he uses one man to make it happen. winning people to Christ, to the foot. He's the real true man of peace, bringing people to the foot of the cross, getting ready for resurrection. And those that don't make first resurrection and get left behind, see, you really want to make first resurrection, because if you get left behind, the tribulation is going to be a horrid thing. We're talking about cannibalism. We're talking about killing people, fighting neighbors, fighting the streets and stuff, breaking into a house. It's just going to be a horrific thing during the tribulation when the church is taken out of the earth. Hopefully some people will realize it's time to get on their knees and get on their face and get right with God so they'll make first resurrection. If they don't, they will get on their face, they'll get on their knees when the church is removed from the earth. It will show them that eternity is real and where they were headed. And we must insist that they do not take that mark on their right hand or on their forehead. We must insist that when the economy collapses and the money's good no more, that they won't go beyond the RFID card. We're going to bring them up to the RFID card, but they should not go beyond that. We should let them know what's coming next is the implants. But let's get them like as if... It's in a similarity as to how Rome has always brought people up to the altar, put those round white cookies in their mouths, and told them they were receiving Christ. The devil did this, never allowing them to pass over into the kingdom, because that's not how you receive Christ. Jesus said you must be born again. They don't preach being born again. They go through all this religious stuff and convince people that they've received Christ through this round white cookie-shaped, angel-shaped wafer. Body of Christ, and everybody walks out of the church thinking they receive Christ. And that's not how you receive Christ. Christ, you must be born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. So at the end of the age, in God's infinite wisdom, he shows us here, he's revealing to us, this is what he wants to do to get everybody ready for the first resurrection. We're going to bring them up to the RFID card. But we're not going to let them cross over to the RFID chip. Well, hopefully they'll know what's next after that. That gets them ready for first resurrection. God wants to get everybody on board for first resurrection. That's why we go out looking for the 144,000 as a body of Christ to unite. That's why he's given us the symbols. And I've shared this in other episodes. And I've done this because, well, I love God and I love Jesus. And it's my two favorite topics is God and Jesus. Those are my two favorite subjects to discuss. I love the Word of God. I listen to it all day long. I know who's preaching, teaching, and I know who's playing, who's staying, and who's praying, who's doing the work. I'm going to take a look at this because God reveals to us who's doing the work. And in some of these passages that we're going to look at today, God is looking for those who sacrifice. What have you sacrificed for God? Me, I sacrifice marriage. I sacrificed going out and playing games and going out and doing things. I've sacrificed in order to sit down and to get these crop circles done and get these words out. And these should be in books. These should be in books given into the hands of children who have no hope, given to people who have no hope. If imagine if there were some magazines had the articles where these crop circles had the Bible passages, then maybe Robin Williams would be alive today. No, I've been doing this for 5 years, but the ministers that I've been to really don't want to serve God as they say they do, because they don't understand that this is all about bringing people to the foot of the cross. They don't understand that everything God is doing is to bring people to the foot of the cross, to get them saved. The enemy said he was going to take the Son of God and make him his pet, and he did that in order to make this one world order. But God's going to take him and turn him into the pet and drive people to the foot of the cross. That's what God's going to do. And you as ministers of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ should be wanting to do that. Drive people to the foot of the cross. The man has to rise up, people. You know that. You know that God must judge wickedness. He must judge sin. Can't sit there and say, no, we don't want to rise up a Christian. We'll let Obama finish the job. Well, let the Catholics chose their destroyer, then God chose his. You choose, do you want to have the Catholic destroyer, which has gone out and destroyed Protestants throughout history? They destroyed this great Protestant nation. We've always been heretics to them. That's why the little horn is Protestantism. That's why it rises up at the end of the age to expose the darkness of which Rome is. And setting them people free. Jesus is on his way back, and Well, we want to make sure everybody's aware of that. We want to get people ready for the resurrection. And the phoenix is a symbol of resurrection. And now I'm going to read from copy here. And it says, America will rise once again for the harvest. The wicked destroyed our country using the American dream, home ownership. Phoenix, Arizona is where John McCain is from. It is he who made a deal with the devil for the White House in August 2008 debates. The cost to throw the election to Obama was $700 billion, which was the same amount missing from America's housing markets 33 days later as a subprime loans faltered. And I've got a link here that goes to the Lehman Brothers, and it talks about the subprime loans. Talks about how the money was operated. Now, they have these corporations, and they have these corporations within corporations, and they're living, breathing entities, and they try not to tie themselves to it. But the Vatican put all their money in the Rothschilds' banking systems in 1823. They've been the bankers for the Vatican have always been the Rothschilds' banking system. It's their money floating through the economy doing this thing. The wealthy people, the Bilderbergers and all of that, are trying to protect their interests. They're trying to protect their money and their interest in America's in the economy of the world. Because they know that the dragon and his church are stealing the money from the world. They're very well aware of who the dragon and his church is. What you need to do is wake up and realize who they are as well. And that's why God took them here to America, to expose them for the frauds that they are. Rome CIA wanted their people in power while the banking cartels went after the oil in the Mideast 7 years earlier after the downing of the towers thanks to the Vatican's money that runs the wicked. Now, I've got a link here that goes over to the Twin Towers, episode 2, I think it's the Twins. And it talks about the Twin Towers being taken down in these last days. One tower went up as they tried to work their way into heaven. It was called the Tower of Babel. And two towers have come down at the end of the age, signifying the end of the age. The two-minute warning. Two religions, the two horns, Catholicism and Islam. And up out of the middle rises a small horn, the horn of Protestantism, to go and do what? Set people free and get them to the foot of the cross for first resurrection. The peace plan for Rome was having Obama appear as the Messiah to Islam. That's what they tried. That's how horrendous. This is the transgressors coming to full. See, God saw the day that I would arise, that he would awaken me, which is back in Daniel chapter 8:23, in the latter days when the transgressors have come to full. What greater transgression is to destroy a great Christian nation that actually lifted Jesus up out of the dirt and put him where he needed to be, America? And have these people come over here and destroy this great nation of ours and putting in a false messiah to 1.4 billion people. You're not going to win Islam or the Jews with idols and statues, and shame on you, any Christian who thought you could. Phoenix lights have been seen in the sky, have flown in pyramid-like formations. Now, this is an interesting thing. Phoenix. Remember, Phoenix is the symbol of resurrection. And people have been seeing these things. They're all UFO fanatics over there in Arizona and stuff. They're looking for UFOs. And I'm not an advocate of UFOs. I'm an advocate of angels in the war with demons. And demons try to make you think that there are UFOs. And they're not. They are just the angels of God preparing to bring in the resurrection. That's what the NASA videos are revealing. That's what you're seeing up there, the round white Eucharist-like shaped angels floating around up there like white corpuscles. And what do? They want to fight off infection. But God's giving us just a little peek into that door. We're not seeing the full picture of everything that's there, but we're seeing their body. We're seeing some of what they'll allow us to what he's allowing us to see. Because remember what faith is. Faith is important to God. See, God wants us to have faith and believe. Have faith. Faith is important to God. But we're seeing that they have this impression of large UFOs bigger than several battleships has appeared there over Phoenix. They've flown in this triangle, pyramid-like formation, blocking out the stars. these lamps, these lights. They've blocked out the stars, and they think it's this big, giant ship. And what it really is, it's the lamps of God, the very lamps that have been making the crop circles in England, the lamps that have been appearing around the world. They're letting us know they're trying to stir the bees. They're trying to get us ready for resurrection. Who is the Father of lights? God is the Father of lights. Lights have also been seen in England, providing us with these crop formations. The lights in Phoenix are seven, the same lights the lampstand in the tabernacle. Is this a coincidence? Is it a coincidence? I'm asking you. Do you think that maybe it's just a coincidence that the seven lights seen around, flying around, or do you really think it's UFOs from, you know, Ork, you know, that came pick up Robin Williams, bring him up to the land of Mork, Morkin from Ork? Is it too soon? Resurrection is next after harvest on God's calendar. Resurrection is coming. And if these crop circles had, like I said, been out in books and been in the hands of people who have no hope, we could be giving the kids hope, giving people hope, hope of the second coming of Christ. They'd be reading the Word. They'd be taking an interest in the Bible. They'd try to find out that these passages point to how God loves them and how God is in, how wants to have relationship with them. And I got pastors that said, no, we're not interested. Isn't that nice that God's talking to you? Isn't that nice? Let's see. I was sent. I wasn't chosen. I was sent. And like the chief butler in Joseph's interpretation dream, the butler and the baker. Well, the bakers are a dime a dozen, but the light bearer, the cup bearer, Joseph made his little brother Benjamin the cup bearer. And I will always be this child to God. I imagine. He's put all these things out here for me because I didn't have much of a childhood. The enemy robbed me of a childhood. It's my time to get payback. And I know that my countenance is fierce, but I'm trying to scare the world to Christ. You need to come to Christ. You need to get your life with Christ. You need to get on your knees before God. You need to get ready for first resurrection because you don't want to stay here for what's coming. Jesus said it would be horrific. It would be horrible. And you can see it coming. They're going to use facial recognition software. All you women who have been around parading yourselves naked on the internet, you'll be wearing burkas in the streets. You'll not be able to go out anywhere with your face being seen. You need to repent. You need to get right before God for resurrection because you don't want to be left behind here. And you guys who promote this wickedness and do this thing, you need to get right with God. You need to repent or you're going to get left behind here in this tribulation. When you do, I just want you to know that hell is real, and that's where you were headed for if you get left behind. In Greek mythology, a phoenix or phoenix, Greek, is a long-lived bird that is cyclically regenerated or reborn. Associated with the sun, a phoenix obtains new life by arising from the ashes of its predecessor. Right now we have the resurrection coming for the church, but there's another resurrection taking place right here, coming up out of the ashes. It's Nazi Germany, right here in America. The same people that gave it to you over in Germany and built the concentration camps, they've taken the FEMA camps, and they're doing the same things. They're doing it a little bit more technologically. They're now going to put us in plastic containers and put bodies in plastic containers in the tribulation because a lot of people aren't going to take that mark. They're going to go into these containers. They're going to have their heads. They're going to be beheaded. The Bible tells us in Revelation there's going to be great beheadings in the tribulation period. The phoenix was subsequently adopted as a symbol in early Christianity. While the phoenix typically dies by fire in most versions of the legend, there are less popular versions of the myth in which the mythical bird dies and simply decomposes before being born again. Herodias, Lucan, Pliny, and Elder, Pope Clement I, Lotus Odin, and Incident Seville are among those who have contributed to the retelling and transmission of the phoenix motif. And I get that from the wiki. That comes from the wiki. But the reborning, the coming back up, the resurrection, the rising up. And this phoenix here has a, if we look at it, concentrating on the large inner circle, the inside circle where the tail feathers are and the bird's wings are and the head is. It says, contrary to the inner circle, we have 16 tail feathers, 24 wing tips that attach to the body at 14 points. One mark stands out above the head for a total of 55. Psalm 55, surrounding the throat, are six circles. The emphasis is on Psalm 55, 6, which says, "And I said, oh, that I had my... And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest." Amen. We're going to fly away and we're going to be at rest. Peace eternally in the kingdom of God. No more pain, no more suffering. Free will has come to its conclusion. We can go no further. We have no place to go from here, brothers and sisters in Christ. America has fallen. America has been fallen to Rome. Rome has taken over. They built the one world order. The devil has used them as his body, his hands and fingers, to complete his one world order. But they have one small problem. They need a peace plan to get the armies of the world together. They need to get all the weapons there to point at Jesus upon his return. And guess what the peace plan is? It's out there in the crop circles. It's raising up the man in the last days. The Prince of Peace is on his way back, and well, there needs to be protocol, there needs to be a preparation. Remember, John the Baptist went out before Christ came in. Prepare the way, make straight the paths of the Lord. God is on his way back, and that's what he does. He chooses his judge. He chooses his man who's going to bring judgment into the world to let the world know that he's on his way. And sin cannot be here when he gets here, because he's an all-consuming fire. You need to be under that blood in order to not be consumed by the holiness of God. That blood keeps us from being harmed by the holiness of God. Living in Christ, hiding our sins away. Our sins are covered by the blood of Christ. If you're not covered, your sins are not taken care of at the cross, you need to get there. You need to know if Jesus died for you. You need to have an intimate relationship with him. You must know that you know that you know that if you were to die tomorrow, you would be in the presence of God based upon the work that Jesus did at the cross. If you don't know that, see, you would know that you were born again. Why? Because you wouldn't be idolatrous. Your mouth, your tongue, your language would be pure, you'd be a different person. You'd know you were a different person. You would love and desire the things of God. You'd be attracted to the things of God. You'd be attracted to the Word of God, the Bible. You would know what was phony and what was real. Because the Holy Spirit would lead you into all truth. That's what he does. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, says, will lead you into all truth. Psalm 55, let's read this, the whole thing. And then we'll go to Psalm 50, because outside we find five more similar circles on the same size. We subtract that and get Psalm 50, add the head, the body, and the top large circles with the emphasis on Psalm 53, 50 verse 3. I found two patterns here. Now you can probably go through and probably find even more if you look. I'm not doing all these on my own. You know, this is for the world to see. This isn't just for me to do. This is for everyone to do. You know, this, and though I find many of them, there's some there left for other people to find. It's, you know, God wants to have fun with his children. He's in love with us. We're his children. And he's put these pictures out there because people like to look at pictures. And when their pictures are done by the hands of God, God's great when it comes to teaching us. He is a visual communicator. And though we're not reading some sort of handwriting on the wall, and we're looking at pictures that point to Bible passages, that's a great thing. Anytime we can open up the Word of God to the lost, that's a great thing. To the chief musician in the Gilgamesh Maskil, a psalm of David, give to ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are coming upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had my wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof, mischief also and sorrow in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof, deceit and guile depart not from their streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me that I could have borne it, neither was it that had hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. 13, verse 13, but it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. We've been calling Rome our acquaintance, but it's them who are out to destroy us. But it was thou, we took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. They've pretended to be something that they're not, people. And God took us all the way here to America to reveal that truth to us. And I'm sorry. I grew up in a Catholic family. I've had relatives die Catholic, and not with Christ. And religious, and believing that they were going someplace under because they did their religious duties. Because they did their religious acts. But none of them are supported by Scripture. They're all man-made. They're all man-made doctrines. And they're all deceiving and deceptive. That's why they destroy the Word of God. Because, well, it doesn't support their hierarchy. It doesn't support their religious system, their religious order. We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God and company. Let death seize upon them and then go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. They don't fear God. They never change. They're always carrying idolatry. They're always pagan. They're always using their money to start wars and fighting and try to profit from the destruction of our children. They use Protestant kids in their wars while they live fat and good at the top. They don't have children. They don't care about our children. The reason why they have you call them father is so that you don't click on to that. You don't clue in on that. Yes, there are people that are in their church are good people. But so are there are good Mormons and there are good Jehovah's Witnesses. That doesn't make them on their way to heaven. That doesn't get you into heaven. Being good doesn't get you into heaven. He hath put forth his hands against such as at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. His words of his mouth were smoother than butter. But war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. God's going to leave them behind in the tribulation. They are the saints who are getting their heads cut off in Revelation. The ones who have turned their back on God and used man-made doctrines, man-made theology, who've gone and said things about God that are not true, who used God to build their one world order, and sent so many people to the fires of hell. They say, well, they're God's church, and the gates of hell can come against it. That's just a lie, because they are the gates of hell. Everybody who goes that way does not come into life. That's why God's doing this out in the backyard of Rome. That's why he's doing it in their backyard, putting up these crop circles. He wants you to know that he's not having conversation with them. He had to bring them all the way here to America to trap them just to set the people who are in their church today free. That's billions of people. That's a lot of people who are on their way to damnation because they are not born again and they're not filled with the Holy Spirit, and they need to be. Because that's what Jesus said you did. You need to be born again. You need to receive Jesus Christ into your heart and live for him. And when you receive Jesus Christ and you're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't need to put effigies and idols around you to know what he did for you. The Holy Spirit reminds us every day what Jesus did for us. Ask anyone who's born again, who's Protestant. We don't need statues. We don't need effigies of Jesus hanging on a cross to remind us of what Jesus did for us. The Holy Spirit does that to us for us every day. But they've led many a people up to the foot of the cross, up to the altar, and put the and sacrificing Jesus day after day after day after day, and convincing them, their people, that Jesus is in this cookie-shaped wafer. And these poor people think that they've received Christ, and when you try to witness to them, they won't listen to you because they've already received Christ, thinking in their minds that they did it at the altar of their church. That's why in God's infinite wisdom, we do this at the end of the age. We bring everybody up to the RFID card. He wants to save the world, people. Do you understand that? Can you grasp that simple understanding that God's done this to set those free that the devil has lied to and deceived? He led them here to America because they wanted the power. So if you belong to any of these three religions who are sitting in the seats of power in America right now, I'm begging you, give your life to Jesus Christ, the Christ of Scripture. Come over to the Protestant side of the kingdom. Come over to the righteous side of the kingdom. And get away from these idolaters. You know, the Bible says, if you have a brother who's in sin, and you know he's in sin, and you go to him and you correct him, and he doesn't learn, he doesn't repent, you're to take another brother, you go, and you address it again. And if he still doesn't repent, what do? You ask him to leave the church. We need to ask the Romans to leave the church. Leave us. Don't be part of us. We don't want to be associated with you because judgment is coming down because of you. Because you use the Son's name in vain, God is raising up a nation and a standard against you. You are going to get left behind and punished by Islam, because when the church has gone out of the world, Islam is going to realize that they missed resurrection and it was Rome's fault that they did. But all the women who get left behind, who rejected Christ, who've shown their bodies on the internet, will be wearing burkas. God's got a great sense of humor. You think God's got a, you know, God's merciful. He wants you to come to him and be forgiven. He doesn't want to bring judgment into the world. He's saddened by it. He wants us to do what is right, to seek what is right, to seek what is evil only brings destruction. And it destroys children's lives. And God loves children. And children always before the face of God. Suffer not the little children unto him. And this same group of people that have been using the Son of God to build their new world order, pedophiles. Homosexuals. Yes, Mr. Obama, you have the right to make your little, you have the right to go out and make your, executive order. But when the resurrection takes place, well, you ain't helping those people too much either. You know, they might have jobs, but there's going to be a lot of job openings when the church is taken out of the earth. Psalm 50. When we subtract the five circles on the outside, and then we take a look at the major three circles, which is the big circle outside, the head circle, and the circle that the body's in, that's three. Psalm 50, verse 3 says, "Our God shall come, and he shall not keep silence. Fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very temptuous round about him." We know the phoenix is out of the flames of fire, the flames of judgment are coming. Psalm of Asaph, the mighty God, even the Lord had spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God had shined. Our God shall come, and he shall not keep silent. That fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above, and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Great verse 5. And I'm not talking about sacrificing the round white wafer and being able to think you can pull Christ out of heaven and do sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. Jesus was sacrificed once for all. He's talking about here sacrifice. What did you give up to serve God? I gave up marriage. I gave up being with my son. I gave up, you know, being with my friends out there in the boat and going water skiing or going mountain climbing. I gave up a lot to serve God and to listen to his word. And I promised him that I'd never marry again. So I cut out one of the greatest pleasures I had BC days. I had days before Christ. I lived in the world. You know, I did immorality and things that were not right in God's sight. But what changed it for me was Christ. He came and he delivered me from my sins. And he set me free. And I haven't the desire to do the things that I once did because Christ liveth in me. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. And I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor the goats out of the folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. I made a vow to God. I begged God for my mother's soul. She was dying. She was raised in a Catholic orphanage. She went in a frightened little girl. She came out a terrified woman. She began drinking at the age of 16. She was 32 when she adopted me. She was a full-blown alcoholic, and she struggled all her life with it. But towards the end, she started coming to church because she went everywhere with my father, and my father gave his life to Christ in 67. When he was 67. And she went to church with him because he went. She didn't like it at first because she was convinced that I'm a Catholic, I'm going to die a Catholic, but she began to enjoy coming to our Baptist church. She began to enjoy coming to, because some women had led her to Christ at a retreat in Bath, Maine. And so she began, you know, and I began to put my arms around her more and hug her more and show her Christ's love and began to get this rebellion out of her. And she began to really sweeten up on it. And finally, before she died, I had kissed her all over. I was just in love with my stepmom. I wanted her to know Christ. I didn't want her to die without knowing Christ. And I cried for 2 years when she was dying. And I asked God in 2009, after she had passed away in 2006, 3 years later. And 3 years goes by real quick, people. 3 years happens fast. And I asked the Lord, if I knew that my mother was in heaven, I could do anything for you. If I knew that my mother was with you in heaven, I would do anything for you. And 20 minutes later, he told me exactly where my mother was. She was at home. She was at home. She was with him, and she was waiting on me. And that's when I realized that I had to fulfill my covenant with God, my vow that I made to him. Because this is how it happened. I asked him, if I knew that my mother was in heaven, I would be able to do anything for him. And 20 minutes later, I passed by the place where I was supposed to have coffee, where I stopped to get my Dunkin' Donuts coffee on I-90, and I passed by it, and I went to the next stop, and I decided, well, I'd stop there, and I'd get a regular coffee that wasn't a Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And I don't know why, but I was kind of teary-eyed, and I was thinking about my mom, and I passed by the first place, and I went to the second place. And as I pulled into the second place, this car pulls right alongside of me. And the guy starts asking me for directions into Canada. Well, 90 runs all along the Canadian border. I says, well, it's, you know, Canada runs all along America here. Where in Canada do you want to go? And he said it to me. He said, I want to go to Montreal. And I almost lost it right there because, you see, my mother grew up in a Catholic orphanage. She never knew her mother. Her mother died when she was 4. But her mother's parents lived in Montreal. And in 1967, my entire family made a big issue. We made a big issue out of it. We went to the Expo 67 in Montreal, Canada. And all she talked about all the way up there is, I'm going to see my family. I'm going home to where my parents were from. She was going home. She said, she kept on insisting this was her home and this is where she was from. It was Montreal, Canada. And so I almost lost it right there. It was God letting me know that she was at home. And weeks after that, there was incidences where I'd walk into the get my coffee at the coffee place. I'd look down on the floor and there'd be a $10 bill there. And I'd pick up the $10 bill and I know it wasn't belonging to the cashier. It was on the other side of the counter. And I'd look around for who did it belong to. And I seen this truck driver walking with two coffees in his hands. He was the last one there at the counter. So I chased them down, and I know what a truck driver makes, and I handed him the $10. I says, I believe you dropped this. He said, oh, thanks. I know what they make an hour. But you see, I'm a man of honesty. I am a man who fears God. And so I gave that $10 back to that man. 3 days later, going back on the same route, stopping at the same coffee place, I come out of the store to go back to my truck, and there's a woman putting her baby in the back seat of the car, and by her foot, now she's in the car, her whole body's in there, and I look down by her foot, there's a $20 bill. And I takes the $20 bill, and I taps her on the shoulder, and I say, excuse me, ma'am, did you drop this? This was by your foot. She says, thank you. She says, if I didn't have that, I wouldn't have made it to the next toll plaza. But God was saying, you know, it was like the angels were testing me. And it wasn't long after that that God told me that the money that they've been saving for him, they wanted me to have it to give it to his church. I serve a wonderful God. I do. I serve a great God. And you can have a relationship with him, and you can know him, and he's personal to you. God's a God of great love and great mercy. Resurrection's coming, and he's given me these cropsicles because my childhood was destroyed, because Roman Catholicism destroyed my mother's life. And so I sought answers. I sought for God, and then I had Mormons come into my family. Mormons were in my family, and I experienced some of that Mormon theology. But in all, I just knew it wasn't God. I knew instinctively in my heart that my father was one father. And that when I read that in the book of Abraham, the council of gods had gotten together, I realized that they didn't know who God was either. There's only one God. All the others are just delusions of themselves. They think they're gods, and they're not. Yet, I gave my life to Christ in a Protestant church, in a Baptist church. It was the first place I got baptized, dedicated there, met my wife there, got married there, dedicated my son in a Baptist church in Salem, King of Peace. But God's I've been crying out to God all my life and speaking to God all my life, and it's not like he's ignoring me. We have a great relationship. We really do. And he's coming back, and he told me to let the church know that he's on his way back. But because the devil lies about the Antichrist, because Antichrist, the understanding and knowledge of Antichrist comes out of Rome. And they're fearful of the Antichrist because it's going to expose who they are. He knows what God's planning. He knows that God's going to give the lamps to somebody else on the earth. And he knows that he's lost his position in heaven. And God's going to give those lamps to somebody else. He is no longer the light bearer. And God's going to do the same on earth as he does in heaven. But he didn't know who it was or who it would be. All he knew is that when I was born here, God told him that one there is going to point you off in the right direction. He'll point you to the Antichrist. He'll figure it out. And I thought for sure it was Obama when I seen the $700 billion disappear from my economy. And I said, I hope it is. When I named this car the Beast, they named him Renegade. I wanted to run over there, put his arms around him, say, thank you for coming. My Jesus is next. And that's when I stepped into it. You know, God's going to use a Christian, a real man of peace, to do the job. And it's because he's in love with you. It's because he's in love with your neighbors down the street. It's because he's in love with you. It's all going to fall apart on the enemy. He's built this camp on sinking sand. He's built a house of cards, and one gives way to the other. And though we won't take all the Roman Catholic hierarchy wearing the fish head hats, and we won't take all the Muslims who blow up their kids and kill their kids, we're going to take a lot more than we anticipated on if we do the will of God and do it as the Word of God teaches us. These crop circles with Bible passages in the hands of people who have no hope will find hope and begin reading the Word of God. While we still have the freedoms here in America to do this thing, we should be doing it. And shame on you, my minister, who can't see that truth. Yes, pyramids will confuse people. That's why God made the Star of David two opposing pyramids. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, and God judge himself. Go in verse 6. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings that have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor goats out of the folds. For every beast of the feast is mine, cattle upon a thousand hills. Pay vows to the, I was at verse 15, I'm sorry. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked God says, what thou hast to do to declare my statutes, that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? Seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee. When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him, and hast been partakers with adulterers. This is you people who have taking money out of the coffers of America. When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him and hast been a partaker with adulterers, supporting the harlot. Oh, but they're for pro-life. Oh, run into the coffers of America. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and kept silence, that thou thoughtest that I would altogether such as one as thyself, but I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thy eyes. Now consider this, that either forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. To order thy conversation aright, to speak the holy things of God, to speak truth. I've always denied, I've always come against false doctrines, false teaching as far as Mormonism, Catholicism, preterism. Again, I didn't go to seminary, I'm not an intelligent man. All I am is carrying the very spirits that put the book together, that assembled it. That assembled the crop circles. I'm carrying the light. I'm carrying that lamp. And there are some things that other people know that I don't know. I'm not, you know, and I love listening to the Bible teachers. And I'm one of those men you can correct. You can correct me. I take correction with gladness and rejoice at correction. I know that, I'm not wishy-washy or I'm not... compassionate like so many ministers have these great compassionate voices. In fact, I always thought it was funny that everybody talking about the Antichrist is going to have this great speech and words of great wisdom and knowledge and it's like, come on, really? You know? I think it's God's sense of humor because you really don't know God as well as you think you know God. You're saying you know God. I mean, you're going around telling everybody that you don't need to have a woman to have a son. What you know, that's confusing people right there. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. We serve one God revealed to us in three persons. The Father and the Son are one and the same. The Son is the visible image of the invisible God, both for man and angel. It's not that complicated. We're going home. We're going to be back with Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And so the phoenix is a symbol of resurrection. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, I implore you to do so now, because time is wasting, time is short. And If I can get men of God who want to stand up and do the will of God to bring in the harvest, then in 3 years' time, we could probably have plenty of people. See, we need the White House. Christians, we need the White House. We need that. The enemy needs that in order to establish his world position. The most powerful nation on earth is America. He needs that. And while we have 3.5 years to bring in our harvest, I'm going to use it to the advantage of God, to glorify God. And I'm going to take you and show you what he's been building here and what he's intending to do here with us in the tribulation. It's all been an attack on us Protestants and anyone who defies the enemy. So we as a body need to stand up in these last days. Start taking in the harvest. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ. Because he is coming back. He's going to set up his millennial kingdom. But we want to make that first resurrection with him before he returns. We want to make it into the chambers, his chambers. He says, come up into my chambers until the iniquity is past. That he sends the judgment upon the earth. We want to be with him. And not here. And those that are here will be being martyred to come up into heaven. Well, they'll be coming in like bubbles in a Coke bottle being shaken. They'll be just popping in, you know, and we'll just be having a good old laugh of it. Because, well, we are eternal beings, and most people right now are heading down the wrong path on the wrong road. But we need to start bringing them onto the right road and show them the right path in the right direction and warn them of what's coming. Have a good day and God bless you.